Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Oh boy, shit's about to hit the fan. Welcome into Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris. This is a day where we are going to tell you exactly how corrupt the media is, and it surprised even us.
So we've got a lot to unpack here. Emergency meeting being held at the White House this afternoon in order to try to stop this discharge petition by Thomas Massie to release the Epstein files. He has the votes, but that's not stopping the Trump administration right now from doing everything that they can to try to stop the release of the Epstein files. Well, let's just get into that because we got a lot of news. We're going to talk. Mel Kay is going to be here in a moment to talk about and break down with the latest revelations from the Democratic side on these emails. But I do want to talk about what President Trump just posted just a few minutes ago. He just posted this on Truth Social. The Democrats are trying to bring up the Jeffrey Epstein hoax again because they'll do anything at all to deflect how badly they've done on the shutdown and so many other subjects. Only a very bad or stupid Republican would fall into that trap. So basically, the entire House of Representatives who are voting along with Thomas Massie for this discharge petition are stupid because they want answers about the Epstein files. Okay. The Democrats cost our country $1.5 trillion, blah, blah, blah. He said there should be no deflections to Epstein or anything else. Any Republicans involved should be forced to only open up our country and fix the massive damage caused by the Democrats. So again, don't talk about Epstein at all, that you're an idiot Republican for even asking these questions. Lauren Boebert has confirmed that basically Kash Patel, members of the White House, and Donald Trump himself called Lauren Boebert as one of the votes that Massie was hoping to get. Apparently, we don't know exactly how it'll shake out on that. Apparently, he already had the votes. I know that he had told me a few weeks ago that he had the votes. We had to wait through the shutdown period. But according to sources, he does have the votes. So whether this Lauren Boebert phone call that she received from Donald Trump, basically begging her to not vote for the release of the Epstein files, like, what world am I living in?
Right. There's a new media piece now that just broke before we went to air. So this morning, the Democrats released about 3 to 4 emails between Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell and also a USA Today reporter sort of talking about how they may or may not bring Donald Trump into their orbit, whether they should speak about their relationship, about Mar-a-Lago and that bit. Then a few hours ago, just recently before we went to air, new emails came out from the New York Times reporter Landon Thomas to Jeffrey Epstein, warning him that there was a former New York Police Department detective and journalist, John Connolly, asking questions about possibly doing a book. Now, think about this.
What the hell?
So this is Landon Thomas, who covered Epstein's first indictment in 2008. Epstein, does the time, he gets off. All you know what happens in 2018. These emails now are, let me look at the date, 2017. So nearly a decade later, the journalist who covered his first indictment is now friends with him and warning him that someone might be writing a book about him. Now, these are two publications that I want to give the biggest middle finger to, USA Today and New York Times. Both of you can just get effed. That's exactly
most
how I
corrupt,
feel.
Most corrupt media organizations in the world. You thought the BBC was bad. New York Times is worse. USA Today, corrupt. You literally have one of your financial reporters warning Epstein that people are sniffing around asking questions. And then you have the USA Today reporter specifically also reaching out and trying to collude with him about how they can bring down Donald Trump. So,
and warning him about the questions that would be asked in the CNN debate, which would then happen. So now let's add a third media organization that can also get effed. CNN, how come you're leaking your questions and colluding with the US, with USA Today? USA Today, yes, get effed. New York Times, you get double effed.
All right, so we're going to go to Mel Kay here in just a moment to take, you know, to dive more deeply into the Democratic emails here, what this means. Also, who's missing from this, which is the Clintons and all of this. She's been covering that part of the story. So we're going to get to all of that and sort of the fallout. We'll be watching this in real time, what the White House tries to do to try to stop the release of this. But first.
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because the Fed just dropped interest rates again. And that's great news for American homeowners, because if you're feeling overwhelmed, thinking about the upcoming holidays, well, there's no better time than now to get your finances in order. Because if you're living off of high interest credit card debt, well, that's no way to go. You're just going to keep digging yourself into the red. But you can use your home equity using money that's already yours to dig yourself into the green. That's what American Financing can teach you, to leverage your assets the way wealthy people do. They are saving their average customer $800 a month. Many are seeing rates in the low fives, and that's a game changer when you compare that to sky-high credit card debt in the teens or even worse. And if you start today, you may be able to delay two mortgage payments, giving you extra breathing room for the holidays. It costs absolutely nothing to find out how much you can save. The holidays are going to be here before you know it, so don't wait. Call their salary consultants at 866-890-8434 or go to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted to let them know that we sent you. One more time, that's AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
Well, some bombshell new revelations in the Epstein saga that will never end because we still never get any documents. House Democrats have just released new Epstein documents, though, that they received as part of a subpoena to Epstein's estate. Democrat Ro Khanna decided to subpoena these documents after lawyers for the victim told Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC that, hey, maybe you should look at this estate. So no one thought to look at Epstein's estate for these documents up until this point. Okay, what the hell? And if Trump actually released all of these documents like he said he would, we wouldn't have this little sort of trickle of emails here and there. Democrats now say they have another 23,000 documents that they're going to release. This is just a few. They want to give us little teasers because it has Trump's name in them. So what do these emails show us for sure? Well, because there's a lot they don't show us. But what they show us for sure is that author Michael Wolff, the USA Today reporter, was colluding with pedophile Jeffrey Epstein to try and use Trump's proximity to Epstein to potentially blackmail him. That's what we know for sure from these emails. It's actually pretty disgusting that a so-called journalist would be working with Epstein. USA Today, of course, is one of the most corrupt news organizations in the world, in my opinion. Here's the email exchange with journalist Michael Wolff. Here's just one of them. There's an opportunity to come forward this week and talk about Trump in such a way that could garner you great sympathy and help finish him. Are you interested?
Now, notice the date just before the 2016 election, just before we went to voting. Okay.
Yeah, it was also the date of a CNN debate. So here's where it gets more interesting. Here's another email. And this one, if you can read here on the screen, says, I hear that CNN is planning to ask Trump tonight about his relationship with you, Jeffrey, either on air or in the scrum afterwards. So first of all, and then he goes on to talk about how you could talk about being on airplane with him and all of that. But just notice for a second how Michael Wolff is saying that he's like already he's talking with CNN, like CNN is telling Michael Wolff at USA Today, here are the questions we're going to ask Trump tonight at our debate. And by the way, maybe you should take those questions and then go to Jeffrey Epstein, your pal, get some blackmail material. Like what? So anyway.
Well, the third one is important because the White House has responded to just this one. The third one says that victim, blah, 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 it's redacted at Mar-a-Lago. And then it refers to Trump asking Epstein to resign. He says he was never a member. Of course, he says he knew about the girls, and he asks Ghislaine to stop. Okay, that is the only one that the White House has responded to. They are alluding to the fact that that is probably Virginia Giuffre, and in her bio, the book that was recently released, she said Trump was a friendly, nice man. So they're saying that they know for sure that that's the victim. We don't know that as far as I know. Now, joining us to discuss from the Mel Kay Show is the person who has been tracking Epstein in minute detail. The first person I wanted to ask about this is Mel Kay from the Mel Kay Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Mel.
Thank you for having me. I mean, could this be more frustrating and infuriating? It is so disturbing at this point. What a fraud they are pulling on all of us.
It is because, well, first of all, we were promised transparency. So then we get these trickle of documents now coming from the House Democrats who subpoenaed the estate, and they didn't think to do this ahead of time. And we get this little like trickle. And now Democrats say there's 23,000 more documents that we got our hands on. We're going to release those. And some of these names are redacted, but the House Democrats like added those redactions themselves. They're not redacted by law by anybody else but House Democrats. So like House Republicans are saying, why'd you redact these names? Anyway, yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. Maybe first let's talk about the Michael Wolff piece of this. Like that to me right. stood out. Like that's what we know for sure, that he was like colluding with Epstein.
Oh, yeah. Michael Wolff, as we know, I believe Melania is suing him right now, and he countersued. This guy has been putting out this information for years. None of it ever leads back. By the way, these emails are nothing to do with Trump. So, I mean, they're them talking about Trump and how he can manipulate Trump. This Wolff has had it in for Trump for decades. And frankly, it's embarrassing that the Democrats are even putting out emails between Wolff and Epstein as if either of them are credible people when it comes to anything going on. And I think we have to remember that last week, nobody mentioned that both Clintons, Bill and Hillary, did not show up to be questioned behind closed doors about Epstein. And it wasn't news. The Democrats didn't bring it out. And at this point, what it looks like to me is that they are distracting us with ideas that Trump was involved, which he is not implicated in the Epstein case at all. We've heard this from Costa. We've heard it from Bradley Edwards, who's the lawyer for a lot of the victims. We've heard it from Ghislaine. We've heard it from Giuffre, not just now in her new book, but even before. So the people that really are implicated are the Clintons. And again, it just seems like everything that happens is a cover up to protect the Clintons. And here we are again in the same situation. And don't forget, J.P. Morgan Chase settled for $365 million with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. And not just that, they also had 20 years of suspicious activity reports at J.P. Morgan Chase with Epstein that never went investigated. So it would be easier to follow the money that actually was transferred all over the world by Epstein over 20 years of suspicious activity reports than anything else. So I don't know why they're not releasing that. That should be public information.
Now, the closest I've been able to connect President Trump to any nefarious doings has been through civil lawsuits that were settled. And what we were able to see was like those pink, you know, message notes saying Trump wants another, you know, appointment or something to that affair. And we don't know what that meant. We do know that they were friendly. We know they had a friendly. So, you know, now this email seems to indicate that this is from Jeffrey Epstein saying he asked me to resign from Mar-a-Lago, but I was never actually a member. Do we know that that's true?
No, from what I've been told, and I have talked to some of the victims, what I've been told is that him and Ghislaine were members and that they were asked to leave after Trump found out that they were basically what it was explained to me as is that he was stealing employees from Mar-a-Lago. And beyond that, that they had heard rumors about him. And remember, Trump said in an interview once that he likes girls very young. So, I mean, look, we do have to remember that billionaires only know billionaires. I have lived in Palm Beach for 30 years on and off. My parents are here. And I will tell you, it is not uncommon for a party to be attended at somebody's home. And it's all the same people. They only know each other. It's just a different world. But as I do not believe that Donald Trump is implicated in any of this. There are many names out there, though, which are oddly enough never mentioned, particularly people from the Virgin Islands like Stacey Plaskett, who was very involved with Jeffrey Epstein. And now she was the lead Democrat somehow on the weaponization committee. Then there's people like Richardson. He passed away. He was all over it. We have Leon Black paid off and settled with the Virgin Islands. The prosecutor in the Virgin Islands, Denise George, was about to open another case when mysteriously Joe Biden went down to see the governor of the Virgin Islands. Next thing you know, Denise George is fired and the Epstein cases are pushed aside. The real people we should be looking at are the banks, particularly J.P. Morgan Chase and the relationship there. But we also had Jess Steele. We have Ehud Barak. We have Prince Andrew. And frankly, if nobody's interested in the Clintons, then this is all a joke. He had a giant picture in his house of Bill Clinton in the blue dress that apparently, Monica Lewinsky wore. He thought it was a big joke. And frankly, he testified under oath that he created the Clinton Foundation. So there's many, many layers here, and it all seems like another cover-up for the Clintons, because the real person that really should be questioned in front of everyone is Bill Clinton, and nobody denies it. Doug Band did a whole interview about the relationship. Even Kevin Spacey came out and he said he was trying to tell Bill Clinton to stay away from Jeffrey Epstein, and he had gone on the trip to Africa. So again, it seems like they're pointing to Trump. It's like the dirty trick of the Clintons that they pulled with Russiagate. Distract everyone to look at Donald Trump when the real criminal element here is likely the Clintons.
One of the other emails that, of course, liberal media is going crazy over and saying this clearly is trouble for Trump, but I don't understand how they're making that leap here, is this email from Jeffrey Epstein to Ghislaine Maxwell specifically, and where Jeffrey says, "I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump." The victim, again, redacted, but only House Democrats redacted that name. I don't know why. "Spent hours at my house with him. He's never once been mentioned, police chief, et cetera. I'm 75% there." I don't know what he's saying. We can only infer that. And then Ghislaine responds, "I have been thinking about that." So liberal media and liberals on X are going all over it saying, see, Trump is completely dirty. He's been with underage girls. And this is like the smoking gun here. But what do you say?
I say Bradley Edwards, the lawyer, but also Palm Beach police also said Trump had nothing to do with it. And he was the only person that did speak to them. So, I mean, what Jeffrey Epstein is likely saying, from my knowledge of the case, which is pretty deep and goes back to 2008, is he's saying Trump hasn't said anything yet, as far as he knows, in terms of what Trump knows. Whatever the case may be, every single person that actually had a frontline interaction in this case, most particularly Acosta, who was obviously in charge of the case. And don't forget that also Pam Bondi was around at the time, too. But Acosta said under oath just in the last 2 weeks that he never discussed it with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not implicated in the case. He never came up in the investigation. So, I mean, who are we going to believe? Democrats that won't even mention that the Clintons didn't show up for their interview about Epstein last week? It wasn't on the news. Nobody covered it. That should have been, if you really wanted to get to the bottom of this, you should be disgusted that the Clintons have never, ever been questioned by the FBI or anyone else that we know of about the relationship for 25 years with Jeffrey Epstein. Again, everything seems to me to be a cover up to protect the Clintons.
It's unbelievable.
Right. And I mean, I don't want to say that we're offering excuses for Donald Trump, but this is consistent with his persona on Howard Stern at the Miss USA pageant, with Stormy Daniels, no matter whether or not it was consummated, he was a very like flirtatious kind of ick factor. This could very well be something that he was showing us publicly. It would not be a surprise, right?
So no, but this elite group of people, I saw Jeffrey Epstein in the 90s, then I saw him in the 2000s in L.A. This group of people are living above our country. They do not believe that they are like us. They believe that they are above the law. This is a very elite class. It's a small group of people. And Jeffrey Epstein was in the center of that, particularly when it comes to many different things, because he wasn't just a human trafficker and a child trafficker. He also, I believe, was also a weapons trafficker. You know, 2 weeks ago, a whole trove of Ehud Barak emails with Jeffrey Epstein came out. I didn't see that on the news either. Like, it's just they want so badly to implicate Donald Trump in this. Yet all the people that are actually implicated, there are Wall Street bankers like Glenn Dubin and Leon Black. Like, why aren't these people of concern? Why aren't people asking Jamie Dimon, now that we find out that JP Morgan has other problems because they debanked people that weren't even in business on January 6th in this new investigation into Arctic Frost? Well, why not sit them down and talk about the 20 years that Jeffrey Epstein was a client with $1 billion of transactions that were marked as suspicious activity? So, I mean, all of this could be put out there, and I don't know why it's not. I don't know why they're holding back anything at this point. And again, I don't think that that's Trump. I really do think that this is a dog and pony show, because all you have to do is go grab all the cases, particularly the U.S. Virgin Island cases are huge. And it's good idea to look at the transcripts of the cases that are already out there. The Virgin Islands information is public. So to me, this is a show, like I said the other day, I was saying online, why are they not looking at who got paid off and who got money? A lot of people in the EU and other places during those years from JP Morgan Chase, the easiest way to do it. Numbers don't lie. Math and computer are those are the easiest way. Rather than speculation, let's go find out who he was paying and for what.
Caitlin Johnstone pointed, we covered yesterday on the show, we had a reporter from DropSite News on who's been dropping a number of key stories with publicly available information about Jeffrey Epstein's ties to intelligence. And Caitlin Johnstone this morning posts, sometimes the media ignoring a major story becomes the story. She says, one of the craziest things happening right now is how there's been report after report after report confirming that Jeffrey Epstein was really an Israeli intelligence operative based on publicly available documents, and it has no measurable impact on mainstream media or politics, totally ignoring this story. And then, you know, I don't know why this is getting totally buried. No discussion about this whatsoever, and they just want to focus on, you know, what airplane flights he's had.
If I may, we need to add that this person, this Israeli spy that was staying with Epstein, it happened after he had already been imprisoned and convicted for child trafficking, and the United States was tracking him, as DropSite News points out, because we know this because Edward Snowden told us. So this person was being tracked by the Obama administration, staying with Epstein during the Obama years. So clearly this is it implicates everybody across Democrats too. So them I just wanted to put that timeline context in there.
Yeah, and I want to say something that came out in a lot of my work is I believe Jeffrey Epstein, and we got to remember when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and I know that they are saying that they're reopening this case, she was doing huge arms deals all around the world. Those same countries that she was doing arms deals with when she was Secretary of State, them were putting money into the Clinton Foundation, of which Jeffrey Epstein says that he created with the Clintons. But worse than that, it appears, and you see it over and over, that Jeffrey Epstein had relationships with very close relationships, business and otherwise, with Ehud Barak, Khashoggi, the arms dealer from Saudi Arabia, and also Prince Andrew. The connection between all of those people is all of those people are involved in arms dealing. Prince Andrew was the main arms guy in the UK, Khashoggi in the Middle East, basically, and Ehud Barak in Israel, and then also intelligence in Israel. So Jeffrey Epstein is the link between those four people. So in my mind, not only do I believe Jeffrey Epstein was a human trafficker of children and women, I also believe that he was very involved at the highest level in arms trafficking. And again, I am at a point where I believe the intelligence agencies, including the CIA, MI6, and likely Mossad, that they're all one and the same at this point, and that they are really protecting the international banking cartel, of which I believe Jeffrey Epstein worked for them. So if you really understand the level of what he was dealing with and his relationships, you see these people that obviously were involved in international arms trafficking and all different kinds of trafficking and probably drugs and everything else. You can go to also Epstein says that he was involved in the Clinton. They had this island initiative that was basically the trafficking route from South America all the way up to Miami. And they got all the islands in there to have the Clintons come in with Crisis International and build out their internet. Meanwhile, it's a biggest trafficking route in our hemisphere. So everything that's going on here is a cover up for what really happened with Epstein. And at the end of the day, the Democrats are fools because it's going to come right back on the nobody else should be questioned as much as the Clintons. And beyond that, a lot of stuff I believe that we should know about this is on Anthony Weiner's laptop. And I don't know why we have not gotten that, because the 33,000 emails from Hillary Clinton that were erased, there's probably like 300,000. But there's a lot of answers there. And it goes all the way to Libya and Syria and arms trafficking. And I believe Jeffrey Epstein was in the middle of it all.
I don't think that you're using past tense for these dirty bankers and this dirty business, but it feels like because it's being protected, it must still be going on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I guess I'll get you to comment on this. I mean, it's somewhat relevant, I guess, in that we're asking for the White House to release these documents and potential Israeli, you know, intelligence connections with Jeffrey Epstein. And then President Trump sends a letter to Isaac Herzog, the president of the state of Israel, asking for them to pardon Netanyahu. I mean, obviously, who's been under investigation, and there's many questions about his corruption. And I personally know people that work for Benjamin Netanyahu have told me how corrupt he is. So it's just an odd timing for the president of the United States to be involving himself with a pardon of Benjamin Netanyahu. What do you make of that?
Well, when I first saw it, I thought, what? This is strange, because I've been hearing that the relationship between Netanyahu and Trump is totally fractured and no longer, working. But what it appears to me is that he wants to close the chapter for Benjamin Netanyahu and move forward with his plans with the Abraham Accords without him. That is what I see of this because of what I know on other levels. But frankly, it's terrible timing, first of all.
Yeah.
And second of all, it looks like he's protecting him. But frankly, I think that he's kind of saying the Netanyahu phase of Israel has to be over. And the case is take away his immunity, let him move on. And, if they want to go after him, fine. But to me, this is more of Donald Trump saying that Netanyahu will not be relevant going forward in what he's planning in the Middle East, particularly the Abrahamic Accords and what he's come to with the UAE and Bahrain and some of these other countries, that they want to move forward. And Netanyahu is in the way. That's how I see this. I know it sounds totally upside down, but what I'm saying is I believe that the Netanyahu phase of running Israel has to come to a close for any kind of forward motion to be effective or happen. And that's why I think he's saying to pardon him so that he can move on and that we can get some new leaders in there that actually will work together towards peace and not endless war for profit.
Interesting. Mel Kay, we knew we made the right choice asking you to come on today. Unbelievable. And we'll continue to watch this trickle of documents that Democrats release here. But I think you're right about this. Like, no mention of the Clintons at all. They're shooting themselves in the foot. Mel, great to see you as always. Thanks
so
much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mel. And we also just got some, while we're sitting here, just some new emails are coming in right now. Some new breaking news on this. That Jeffrey Epstein, according to one of these emails, claims that Hillary Clinton had a sexual relationship with former attorney Vince Foster, who then, of course, mysteriously committed suicide a short time later after that. I mean, again, we're going to start to see trickle after trickle after trickle of these emails. And why not just release all of them? Democrats still say they have 23,000 of them that they're going to release. Thomas Massie says that he has the votes. And the Trump administration is scrambling right now to try to stop the release of this information. Like, so, what is the Trump administration hiding? Release it all.
Right. So, look, it's very possible that these are exculpatory for Donald Trump. It's very possible that they're embarrassing, that they are either implicating of a crime or they are crime adjacent or they're just pervert adjacent. Fine. Right. We're going to find out anyway because the American public won't let this go. One question would be, why protect him? over young girls, over us, over what seems to be a banking cabal that does not have the American people's interests. So he implicates himself more and more by, I mean, what is the statute that you can't be a party to a crime. You can't hide a crime that, you know what I'm saying?
Aiding and abetting?
Aiding and abetting, okay, right? Sorry. So what's happening here? So who's covering for who? And I mean, yes, it would also show us that early in this Trump administration, when the Trump administration said there was nothing there, he trafficked nobody anywhere. It was just him and his own porn on his laptop. That is clearly not true. Another email that's just being released, and these are breaking hard and fast. Let me know if it's happening on your X feed too. I can't verify all of them, but they are everywhere. Is Jeffrey Epstein who is this person? Special envoy to Syria, Tom Barak, in 2016. Send photos of you and child. Makes me smile. Clearly, Epstein did not traffic to nobody. So that needs to implode now. That's gone.
Some other people in the chat room pointing out, yeah, the whole Vince Foster, Hillary Clinton thing is old news. I mean, we knew about this apparent relationship for many, many years, but now it's, you know.
Why did Epstein know about this?
Right. This isn't an email from Epstein, like saying this specifically. He was doing the naughties with Vince. Oh, for a long, long time. This is part of the why did Vince Foster suddenly die story. So there's a lot of this, but the fact that it's like in an email from Jeffrey Epstein as part of this new tranche of documents being released by Democrats is pretty interesting.
I mean, I didn't know this, you know, special envoy to Syria, send pictures of you and the child. It makes me smile. Where are those pictures, Pam Bondi? Where are they, Justice Department? I would like to know.
I just, you know, again, when I asked Congressman Massey a few weeks ago, did he have the votes before the whole shutdown and before that before House Speaker Johnson was trying to shut down, try to prevent them from doing this? He said he has the votes. We got separate confirmation from one of our team members today who said that he has the votes. So even like the Trump administration leaning on Congresswoman Boebert, trying to get her to change her vote on this, like Trump apparently called her directly, begging her to not vote to allow the Epstein files to be released. So this is a uniparty, and they're all, again, someone pointed out earlier, I think the Democrats had these emails for 8 years. Now they're releasing them. So this is Democrats and Republicans, one big uniparty, and they're all covering, maybe for these bankers, they're covering from this massive criminal network of individuals because they're all implicated. All of them are dirty.
I wish we had a constitutional expert on to tell us, can the president stop it? Is it possible?
He's going
to
try it. But
is there something the Justice Department...
The House has their hands on it. So Trump can't do anything about it. This is what they're so fearful of right now with this discharge position and Thomas Massey. This is why they hate Thomas Massey so much. It's not because he's a libertarian. It's not because he has solar panels on his house. It's because he wants the truth for the American people, and they hate it. They absolutely hate it.
Well, I was going to say, how rich will it be that Massey is the one that ends up draining the swamp and Trump goes down with it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see a lot of people saying Massey for president in 2028. Wouldn't that be amazing? All right. Hey, we've got more news to get to here. We got a lot more news to get to. We got a lot of guests coming up here. We're going to talk with Elijah Schaefer. Of course, he's being sued right now by Kash Patel's girlfriend for $5 million. We tried to have him on the show yesterday. He got held up at the airport, so we're lucky that he's going to be joining us here in a moment. On that front, we're going to talk about that, plus so much more. But first, hey, I just got our box today. It just showed up. Because I am a customer. Before they were a sponsor, I am a customer of Backyard Butchers. I got a whole bunch of new sirloins, T-bones. So we got some new burgers, also burger patties that just came in, and some new ribeyes, which I'm very excited about. And they will deliver it right to your door. Thanksgiving is all about family, American tradition, and great food. And there's one thing we all agree on, big agriculture shouldn't be at your holiday table. That's right. Big Ag, like Big Pharma, has tried to infiltrate the food system with genetically modified food and hormones that affect your family's health and our children's future. That's why I love Backyard Butchers. They're stepping in early this season to make sure American families can feed their loved ones the way tradition intended. This Thanksgiving, say no to feedlot mystery meat. No to Big Ag chemicals and hormones. Buy from Backyard Butchers real ranch-raised beef from real American families who still believe in doing things correctly. It's beef that's hormone-free. grass-fed, pasture-raised, handled with pride, not genetically modified, because American tradition deserves better than big ag meat. So right now, our friends at Backyard Butchers are offering up to 30% off, plus a free turkey or a free ham with your purchase. So get your Thanksgiving turkey just by making your order right now and get it for free. That's 30% off and a Thanksgiving turkey or ham for free. So take advantage of this right now from backyardbutchers.com. Make sure you use that promo code redacted. Promo code redacted. That's backyardbutchers.com. Promo code redacted. I promise you it'll be the feast your family will remember. Backyard Butchers, American tradition, American meat. So I'm excited. I got excited today when the meat showed up.
Yeah.
Natalie said,
like meat Christmas.
She said, what's in the box? I'm like, it's our meat order. It's our meat order is here. So we'll be having some sirloins. We'll be having some ribeyes. I'm excited about that.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Well, thank you guys so much for dialing us up and being a part of our show here. Just confirming we are good to go. Yep, we are. All right. Cash Patel and the FBI have been actively suppressing the release of the Epstein client list. In fact, we just learned that Cash Patel was in a meeting with Lauren Boebert today, according to reports, specifically asking her to change her vote on the Epstein files. Like, why the hell is the head of the FBI meeting with a member of Congress along with President Trump trying to get them to squash the Epstein files? Why are they hiding this? Why is the most transparent administration in history gaslighting us, telling us that Epstein only trafficked young girls to himself? So stop asking questions. Where are the Epstein documents? Shut up, you anti-Semite, for asking that question. Naturally, people started looking more closely at Cash Patel and his girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins. She has now filed a $5 million frivolous lawsuit against conservative podcasters and reporters for, quote, insinuating that she's a Mossad honeypot. The lawsuit, I've read it, was filed by the director of Cash Patel's foundation. In other words, Cash Patel's girlfriend is using Cash Patel's legal network to try and silence people, if I understand how the money trail works here. One of those conservative voices that's been sued is none other than Elijah Schaefer. Watch.
Over the weekend, I received concerning news that I was being sued for $5 million by Cash Patel's girlfriend, Alexis Wilkins. And the reason why might actually shock you. About a couple months ago, I posted this photo on the public social media platform X. I posted it with no caption, no suggestions of any malintent or any slander, defamation, or criticisms of character.
That was just simply a photo. And even in the lawsuit, my favorite part of the lawsuit is where it says, quote, no defamatory words were spoken or written, end quote. Elijah Schaefer joins us now on the show to talk all about this. I'm sure it's been hell for you over the past couple of days. Elijah, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I just want to give a quick shout out and say I'm a big proponent of not consuming any politically charged media as a commentator, so I keep my own opinions and they are authentic. However, I do not believe your show counts as politically charged. It's very neutral, very honest, and you're one of the only shows, if not the only show, I regularly watch. So I definitely am very happy to be here to discuss this with you guys.
That's nice of you to say.
I mean, we really try. We have no agenda. And
likewise.
You know, so, and that's what I love about your stance on this. You know, they're trying to silence you for being truthful, for not pulling any punches. And that's what we love about you. So when you got this lawsuit in, I guess you got it in the mail. I don't know if you were served. What were your initial sort of reactive thoughts to it? Do you think, oh my God, this thing,
so shocking.
This thing's going to have a lot of teeth. Did you realize it would be so frivolous and have no teeth at all like it is?
Yeah. So to clarify, I heard about something stirring up legally against me from Barry Wise's investigative team through CBS Free Press, some members that are associated with her, and through some journalists at Newsweek associated with Josh Hammer. Those names have become all too familiar as bad faith actors, in my opinion, in the journalistic world that are suspiciously operating large companies with massive amounts of influence with very little to show for it. Why? Well, it looks like maybe there's other reasons, as you guys have covered on your show, especially with the sale of Free Press and Barry Wise. However, I think one of the journalists at Newsweek made a mistake. And in the midst of talking about the previous lawsuits that were more politically charged and based on actual rhetoric from Alexis Wilkins, the FBI director's girlfriend, who I'd like to say, we should stop calling her the FBI director's girlfriend, because he says she's a sensational music star, a sensational country music icon. And so according to him, she's not just a public figure, she's a international icon. And that's obviously makes this entire situation unique, including the fact that, you know, she also has an IMDb, right? Your private citizens don't usually just have, you know, credits on the largest database for entertainers. This is a very public person. Also happens to be the girlfriend of the most powerful law enforcer in the country outside of the judiciary. And so we have reason to be interested in this individual. However, I really wasn't until now. One of the journalists sloppily added a note in one of the investigations that there was an expectation for myself to be receiving some legal inquiries. So I'll just go here. We have not been served. They don't know where I am, and they're very mad, I believe, that I got a hold of the document before they were able to push their media PR campaign. So I took their plan to sort of slander and surprise me and catch me off guard, and I blew it up to the world. So, oh, wait a minute, so that's where we're at served? Right now.
So you haven't been filed in any court of law.
It was filed in the Palm Beach Circuit Court, and it was, you know, to be a jury trial. The request was actually a jury trial, which is very interesting. Not even just a civil settlement or something that would be, you know, admission of terms or apology. She wants a jury trial, and she wants the evaluation money of my company. She knows I don't have it. And so the court says the only way I would be able to pay for this is to give up all of my media assets, including my social media assets. So she essentially wants my company shut down over a picture and wants to take control of my assets. And she still can't find me. But we are trying to determine whether or not we're going to just agree to accept the accusation and charges as a plaintiff on her end. But I want to clarify that we got a hold of the documents without their knowledge. Wow. And they didn't know we had them, which is why she's been silent, because Streisand effect. I go, you want to do this? We're going to do it on my terms, not yours. And that's how I run as a journalist. I play ball. But you know what I'm saying? If you're going to try to be snarky like this, it's not just young women who can be petty. Spending 10 years as a journalist, you become very petty.
Well, like, you don't have an obligation to accept a lot, to stand there and be found. That's not your, and if her boyfriend's the head of the FBI, you would think that that's not too hard. She shouldn't be using that, but she's obviously using things at her disposal that most American citizens don't have. Now, you say you would like to get discovery on the two of them and figure out how much he was involved in this, how much he knew, which it matters that they are not married, because married couples have spousal privilege. You cannot force them to testify against one another, but they're not married. So that matters. You say you also would like to get this dismissed, but you can't do that unless you accept the lawsuit. So there are three different routes here. You can't have all three. You can't have it dismissed without discovery. You can't have the discovery without getting the lawsuit. So you are the one with all the choices here, and they are on the back foot because this is such a frivolous lawsuit. So what do your attorneys say?
Yeah, so this is my Roe v. Wade moment. My body, my choice. My lawsuit, my choice. So I have an incredibly talented legal team. One of the most well-respected, largely funded legal teams, which I could never afford, that has come alongside me in this due to their belief that this is a SLAPP violation. And they read the case and they have looked at it. And here's the interesting aspects of this that I want the American public to understand. If Kash Patel didn't know about this lawsuit, he should step down as the FBI director, because he has a girl that, you know, one would assume he's having, you know, relations with, considering their sort of way they present themselves in public. They're not married, and I'm not sure with Hindu beliefs. I know that she professes to be Christian. Traditionally in Christianity, you get married. So obviously they're sort of living their own version of reality and whatever they believe they want for their lives. Untraditional too, you know, in American culture. And so they have sort of had their own, they're obviously very much in love with each other and they care about each other. So much so that the FBI director has talked about these comments. So he's referenced these tweets from myself and others, and he called them attacks, right? So while people are questioning him about the Epstein files, you know, you can think of Cash sitting there and they're like, sir, you know, we have these files here of children that were, you know, taken advantage of and violated in the most inhumane ways. And he's like, do not redeem, sir. And you're like, okay, Cash, you know, I think his name's Cash App. It's like, you know, Cash App, what's going on here? Why don't we care about this? He's like, you're telling me that somebody made a suggestion that my girlfriend was too hot for me. That's what that phrase honeypot is, a suggestion, at least most people. It's like, she looks like, you know, she wouldn't go for you. It's supposed to be a compliment, I think. I never said that either, by the way, but I think it's supposed to be a compliment. He goes, let's do what? She lives allegedly in Tennessee, allegedly. And she files this using his firm, right, in DC, which is already weird. Now, I looked at we've combed through her financials and whatever's publicly available, she's not wealthy. And she's getting like 8,000 streams on that I know of on Spotify. She's getting thousands of views on YouTube, and I don't, you know, we're not the biggest show ourselves. And I'm not talking about that. She cannot afford this firm. We've looked at their prices. So she's getting money for this. Now, of course, if she was married to Cash, that wouldn't be an issue if she was using his money. There's joint accounts, joint income, joint filings. But it looks like perhaps she might be taking money from the director of the FBI, her boyfriend, who's not her husband. And because she's using the firm, before we even want to get to accept and have discovery, we're going to be, you know, making sure that we are freezing all communication. And we would like to know what this firm's communication has been with Cash, whether or not we need to include him in whatever we're going to do, to have them, you know, turn the documents as we start the court case to ensure that this is not a SLAPP violation, that Cash was not aware of this. And here's the point. If they basically have two options, they're either A, going to have to say Cash was a part of this, and then he joins the suit. It becomes an anti-SLAPP suit. He opens himself up to discovery when we go ahead and request, or he invokes privilege. Maybe has the attorney general come in and explain that, you know, he has privilege or immunity. And then to me, that would also admit guilt and will still go through with a SLAPP violation, because what do you need immunity from with this law firm that we can't verify whether or not you had foreknowledge of this lawsuit, whether or not we need to include you in any of these discussions, right? Are you a part of this? We want to know. So that's my point. If he knew about this, he should step down, because he set himself up for a trap now. He has no way at walking out of this. But if he didn't know about this, I don't believe that. And I also want to say they made a huge error here, a huge error. She's been fomenting his girlfriend on X, you know, accusing me of not being a Christian and, you know, getting like very petty, weird things that like she's been responding. Now, the suggestion for the lawsuit, now, of course, we don't know the private conversations. We won't know that till discovery, but it looks like this guy Bernal, the board director for Patel, who is runs this law firm, that he's the one who publicly suggested the lawsuit. He goes on, someone says, you should sue Elijah for this. And he goes, yeah, maybe I will. And he's like, that's a good idea. And then later, a few weeks later, it's filed. But nowhere do we see any sort of complaint about her asking for a retraction. She never says that I said anything false. But you can see this sort of, Newsweek quoted me, paranoid and delusional behavior that makes me question her composure to be a reputable person to file a lawsuit, and makes me question Cash if this is who he's dating and putting her on the front, because she essentially is accusing me of cheating on her in her dreams. Like, this is what it is. It's what it is. Your wife wakes up like, you kissed her. And you're like, who? And so it's
Yeah, I mean, and so some of the allegations out there, of course, that others have made, and others are being sued as well by her, claiming that she's a honeypot, that she's a Mossad honeypot. That's what they've been claiming. But nowhere in the lawsuit do I see those words, right? I don't see the word Israel anywhere. I've read the complaint. I've searched. I don't see Israel. I don't see honeypot. I don't see any of that. Basically just saying that you are profiting off of churning controversy and outrage, to use their quote, and they're using a fabricated narrative to basically say that she's a honeypot. But nowhere do you say that she's a honeypot, unless I missed something.
No. So this is why it's not only frivolous, but it makes one question real intent here. Riff TV, my network, I had many attempts by the FBI through intimidation. This is why it's very serious. You know, I've been stalked by the FBI. I've had the FBI use the Patriot Act to lift the backend access to my iPhone that I've FOIA'd and gotten access to. So they actually took over my phone through a joint domestic terrorism and espionage investigation into my work previously, when I revealed that Ray Epps was the instigator of January 6th, the riot that happened that day. Because if people ever seen that footage of Ray Epps and the individuals breaking down the barriers, that was me. That was my footage. And I was the journalist for The Blaze at the time. So I cooperated for a moment with the FBI to explain, you know, hey, I actually know who started this, and let's start the investigation here. I'll use my team. We'll go after it. And instead of accepting the footage and launching the investigation, they started investigating me for wiretapping, harassing my family, you know, getting no-knock warrants for, you know, acquiring devices, lifting my bank records, all my text messages, even getting into my Signal account, which, you know, is crazy, right? Into my encrypted messaging account they were able to get into. So they really put a lot of pressure, and I never got charged formally with anything, but they spent 4 years. The assistant attorney general signed off on, I mean, the attorney general signed off in it as well at the time, Merrick Garland. All over the fact that, what, I was Republican? So the FBI has had a huge history of meddling with me. My own producer just got his devices back. The FBI raided him, took all of his stuff recently. And so we've been targeted by the FBI for our work that we've been doing. That's why, I went away to Australia, and I was living there, and then I came back, and I decided my history is with Right Blaze TV. I've had stints with Fox News, OAN, Newsmax. I go, why do we have to take realistic pro-American ideas and just yell about it in our bedroom? I want to make a network that is ostensibly reliable based upon the fact that we aren't controlled. And we had a meeting and we agreed the only way that we couldn't be controlled is if we refused to take Zionist money or money from those that are looking out for Zionist interests above the United States. And so there's got to be no clean money or dark money associated with people who put the rights of Israel and the rights of, Jewish supremacy or religious supremacy, these kind of toxic ideas into controlling how we think, say, or what we do here. And that's made us a real big target. And what I noticed is what's really weird about, so bring this up, because as this has come out, speaking of a countersuit, Will Chamberlain and some of these folks, you know, associated with Josh Hammer and these other nonprofit and think tanks have now launched these massive investigations into my network, accusing us of being foreign agents. So and you even see James Lindsay, you know, retweeting, because like RT covered our story. So he's going, wow, RT, more than enough said. And now they're literally to the point to where Will Chamberlain wrote, do you guys think by the end of the year, like Elijah will have to register under FARA, you know, as an agent? So yeah. this they're using this. You can retards. See this. They want the exact evaluation of my company. Fucking they want retards. My assets of my company. And guess what? Will Chamberlain is a prominent Zionist Jewish guy. This other guy, neocon Zionist, it says in his bio, all of these people are a part of this sort of Kabbalistic political class. And it looks like the lawsuit is dumb, but that's the problem, is they let their own desire to take me down. I'm a target. They want my company down because I won't take their money. And then they just played their cards too early. Maybe they were going to pull it, but now it's backfired. Her entire comment section is pictures of honeypots, Winnie the Pooh, and her in beekeeper outfits, you know, using AI. So I think she messed up.
Well, yeah, I know we're out of time, unfortunately, but this just opens up an incredible, I just still can't wrap my head around how you would allow a lawsuit like this to go forward with the privilege, with the communications and the relationship with the head of the FBI, which could become part of discovery at a jury trial. Like, and not just you, multiple lawsuits now, which could have access to, because maybe one person dismisses it or gets dismissed, or one person just settles. But what's some said, I didn't do anything wrong. We're going to trial and I want to see all the documents. I want to see the communications between you and the FBI director. I mean, this is a bunch of idiots. I can't wrap my head around it at all.
Well, you know what? My one saving grace here is at least they're honest about the fact that you didn't say anything. It was a wordless defamation. But what they otherwise have a problem with is your criticism of the government of Israel. And it's written in the lawsuit. So at least we don't have to guess, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said those things. You know, we know why. It's clear how you piss off people who are connected to the government is by criticizing foreign wars and foreign involvement. So,
yeah, I just want to make one comment. I know you got to go. That's what I want people to see, just because you guys will probably be updating as this goes along. There'll be there's some pretty big drops that are coming. I'll make sure to leak stuff to you guys as it comes in. But yeah, the entire lawsuit is actually about I'm a bad person, so you can assume I had bad intent. Why am I a bad person? I have no criminal charges in my life. I've every lawsuit where someone has claimed I've done something bad, I've won and I've been proven innocent. People do say bad things about public figures and they do smear them, but I have won and overcome those types of accusations. And the most important part is that I didn't support Israeli occupation of our government. And if you like that, those ideas, make sure you check out my work. I'm on X at Elijah Schaefer. You can also find me on Rumble and YouTube, my network, The Rift, Rift TV. We're live all the time. But thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Our pleasure, Elijah. Thank you so much for being one of the few truth tellers out there. We appreciate it.
It's incredibly stressful, though. I mean, you're making it sound like you have good choices and you're brave about it, but I know what it's, you know, it's that still can be very stressful. You now have to tangle with very powerful people in a way you didn't intend to do. They entangled you. You know,
my family separated. I'll just say that, like, because of the no-knock warrants and the raids of the FBI and them being in proxy, I have two young boys, a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, very, very beautiful, blonde hair, blue eyed, cutie pies. You know, I don't usually use that word, but you know, it's my boys and my lovely, beautiful wife. And they're currently having to live in a separate state with family, under the fear that there could be, you know, further retaliation and pressure from the FBI, like we've seen in other similar cases. So the cost is taken on my family outside of the financial cost that's already in the tens of thousands of dollars just in the last 3 days is immense. And I hope that Alexis Wilkins realizes that, you know, she may have a hard time quantifying her damages, but we are hook, line, and sinker tracking every cent of what's happening. And the damages are there. And I hope she takes that into account because she's not the only one with access to good lawyers.
All right. Well, thank you so much for telling us your story. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Elijah.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about, how do you like a CIA, but this one's run by the European Union? Does that sound awesome? Ursula von der Leyen thinks it does. She would like to be in control of a CIA of her own, and she's got that in the works. We're going to talk about that. Plus, you know, now that the Canadian government has killed all these ostriches, they're thinking, click, 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 who's next? They are coming for other animals without proof of any reason to kill animals. We're going to talk to David Creighton about that in just a moment. But first,
if you've been seriously injured, your case could be worth millions, and you should know exactly what your rights are. That's why I want to tell you about Morgan & Morgan. They're America's largest injury law firm, with over 1,000 attorneys working in all 50 states. And unlike a lot of firms that settle quickly, Morgan & Morgan doesn't take lowball offers from insurance companies. Just in the past few months, they won $12 million in Florida when the insurance company offered only $350,000. And in New York, they secured $6.8 million on a case where the offer was just $275,000. And the best part? It's absolutely free unless you win. Insurance companies try to pay out as little as possible. Morgan & Morgan fights to get you more if you become their client. It only takes a few minutes to see if you have a case, and you can do it right from your phone. It's that easy. You can visit forthepeople.com/redacted. Or you can click the link in the description to get started.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right. Just texting one of our guests here. We're running a few minutes behind because we've had such a busy show today. So David's standing by. We'll get to him in a few moments.
It's not our fault. We have Epstein documents. We didn't intend.
And we've got craziness in the European Union. So we're equal opportunity reporters here covering around the world. So, hey, Europe, here's a question for you. You've already given over your sovereignty to an unelected group of globalists who reside in Brussels, Belgium. How would you like for these unelected globalists now to start their own spy network to spy on Russia, China, and of course, European citizens? Would you guys be down with that? Well, that's exactly what's meant to happen, because according to a new report, the witch herself, Ursula von der Leyen, the European commissioner, is creating a new intelligence agency, in a spy agency inside of the EU bureaucracy. This is basically a proto CIA for Europe. They say it's to spy on, to spy on Russia. But of course, just like our CIA and our NSA, it will be used to spy on Europeans first and foremost. Dr. Olga Rivasi is the host of the National Conversation. She joins us now to talk about the craziness in Europe. Great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for hanging with us. We got a lot of breaking news today with regards to Epstein and everything else. So thank you for that. So what do you make of this? What do you make of this report that the EU is going to set up a new intelligence unit under Ursula von der Leyen, specifically under this unelected group of globalists? So the Portuguese people, the Italian people, the German people have no authority over it, basically.
Well, that is exactly what's happening in Europe. Europeans have turned their sovereignty over to the unelected bureaucrats. And usually those unelected bureaucrats are, in fact, failed politicians in each one of those respective countries, yes, where they're all of a sudden elevated into these positions of power where nobody ever voted for them. But somehow they have free reign, and they can go around dictating to everyone what to do and how to live their lives, and furthermore, create weaponized agencies that, of course, are allegedly meant to function externally, but in fact, they will be weaponized and turn internally and spy on their own people. That is the case all over Europe. That is the case. Unfortunately, it happened here. We are experiencing some of that. We started experiencing it a long time ago, but we kind of noticed in 2015, 2016, with the arrival of President Trump, how those agencies get weaponized, how they steal elections, how the CIA, and I can mention several others, even BND and MI6, and all of them operate unconstitutionally on their own terrain and on their own turf. So that is the case with the Europeans. And, you know, while the European people, and you guys, I understand, came back from Europe, so you know firsthand, and I have experienced this consistently, we can recognize that blueprint of what it means to not only weaponize agencies, to turn them against their own people, but then to steal elections, to spy on everybody, to censor everybody, to police the internet, to police social media. Look at what's going on in the UK. Granted, they're not part of the European Union, but the same set of internationalists or the cosmopolitans, you know, and the poster child for that being Keir Starmer, they can basically prosecute you for just posting on X or posting on Facebook. And if you dare criticize them, you can be imprisoned. If you dare fly your own flag somehow, your own national flag, and turning inward and wanting to show your national pride, well, to this group of unelected bureaucrats and the cosmopolitans and the internationalists, that is the stuff that the peasants do. That is not the things that the elite do. And so this group of people that I'm mentioning, and, you know, I'm painting a picture here of France, I'm painting a picture here of Germany, starting with Angela Merkel to today, all of them are doing the same exact thing. Right. And that is fragmenting their own populations with uncontrolled, but actually controlled demographic replacement and immigration. And then further turning against their own people under the guise of, well, we're going to keep an eye on Russia, we're going to keep an eye on China, we're going to keep an eye on the so-called adversaries. But interestingly enough, you don't notice any of that happening, for example, in Hungary. You don't see it in Slovakia. We just got recently good news out of Czech Republic because they elected Babiš, who is also conservative. So you don't see that in that kind of like former Eastern Bloc, let's say, of countries who are really strongly opposing the European Union bureaucrats, who are opposing immigration, who are opposing sending money consistently to Ukraine and shooting themselves essentially in the foot, which all of the Western nations have done it. So again, this is what's happening all across the West, and Ursula von der Leyen and all of her, you know, colleagues and bureaucrats, as I said, have failed consistently, and yet they keep being empowered, not only in the Brussels, but I mean, you look at NATO, you look at the International Court Tribunal at The Hague. I mean, Europe is rampant, and it's a cesspool of all of these international organizations that somehow are superior in the eyes of these elected bureaucrats to the international, to the national institutions of their own countries. So again, I want to go back to Starmer, for example, and that just really painted a picture of him to me. He was asked, what do you prefer, Davos or Westminster? And he didn't hesitate to tell us he prefers Davos. And what does that tell you? Hmm. Ursula is just yet another example of this. So while they're fragmenting their own countries and sowing discord, and they are all on the verge of civil war, they somehow find their moral superiority by creating international organizations or being indebted to the international organizations. Because again, as I said, the national stuff, the internal stuff is for the street, for the mob and for the peasants, but not for right. the elites.
Now, when we lived in Europe, the Digital Services Act passed and they sold mm-hmm. it to us as a way to stop the mob and dirty money and terrorists and, of course, all the bad guys, right? But we knew that it was giving them the power to read our WhatsApp, which everyone in Europe uses WhatsApp to communicate.
Or Viber.
Yes. And so now the Europeans have allowed this to happen. There was very little fight, unfortunately, because it was so, you know, well sold. And the European yeah. economy was so hard that people don't have the time to fight back, to pay attention. And what they're saying now is, and so they have this data, is the point I'm trying to make. They've been right. collecting it since they passed this act, probably before illegally. Now they're saying we need a formal department to take care of it, which tells me they've had all this data. They need to go through it. They need someone in charge. And so, you know, while the Americans are saying we want to abolish the CIA, they do us wrong. The Europeans are like, let's do that. Now, what makes me so sad is that the Portuguese overthrew the secret police in the 70s because they did not want to live like this. How are the European citizens missing that it's happening again? What do you think?
But that's exactly what you pointed out. It's the strife that they are going through, economics, education, demographic replacement. I mean, people are worrying in Europe how to pay their rents, their mortgages, how to send their children to school, and hoping that, you know, their child is not going to be groomed and raped by the mass gangs of foreigners. They're hoping that they're going to be able to afford gas. They're hoping that they're going to be able to afford food, because as we mentioned, the Europeans have economically shot themselves in the foot by funding all of these foreign wars. So that is why I don't think it's the lack of interest to pay attention, it's the inability to act, because they're consumed by their own mere survival, while, again, the unelected bureaucrats can basically run rampant. And that is also the point where it's hard to fight when you have this two-tier system where, yes, you have some elected people that you think, okay, we're going to vote them out. But what about the unelected people? Nobody is voting for them, and they can still consistently pursue these policies. So as we said in the beginning, the sovereignty doesn't really lay within the people, but it doesn't even lay within those who they elect and who they vote for. So when you fulfill the conditions of the political system cannot self-adjust, or you don't have the means to adjust it by voting, by participating in it, because nobody really wants to vote anymore because they don't believe in voting, because nothing changes. You can kind of like what we're experiencing here. It seems like we're voting and no matter how you vote, you kind of like get John McCain. Well, that's sort of what's happening in Europe. Yeah. No matter how you vote, you sort of get the unelected bureaucrats with Ursula and, you know, the rest of them. I mean, you guys report on the Balkans, for example. Well, that's consistently what happens in the Balkans. They, you know, they vote, but then they have these unelected bureaucrats who kind of like come in and tell everybody what they need to do. And they feel superior and they feel that their, you know, moral superiority is over the people who are worrying about their life. So you end up fulfilling the conditions that now leads you to civil strife, and civil strife leads to civil war. So, you know, whether it's Ursula or back to Keir Starmer, you know, he kind of reminds me of King Charles I. He was violently overthrown and executed, and we ended up with Cromwell and the Republic. So that's literally what every Western country in Europe is experiencing. And again, back to Natalie's point, not that the people are unaware, they're unable to function anymore through the political system, through what they thought were legitimate political and civic means, which is leading us to the scary part.
Gosh, it
can
so
potentially
sad.
Turn into civil war. And we are, I will argue that we are living through it somewhat, but it hasn't completely turned violent. And when you look at how these societies are fragmented or balkanized with, you know, the uncontrolled demographic replacement, with the natives versus the foreigners, even those foreigners who were born in those respective countries, but they never fundamentally integrated, you have perfect conditions for civil war, because there is no adjustment anymore that is legitimate politically. And if there is no adjustment politically, you know what that leads to.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're seeing the destruction of Germany. You're seeing the destruction of the nuclear power.
And again, a lot of this is economic. You know, you look at their foreign policy, and I think even for us Americans, looking at our foreign policy, this happens to leaders. This happens to countries who all of a sudden become enamored by solving international problems, who, again, to them seem far superior because, you know, at these international institutions, you solve more important problems, where when you turn inward, you actually want to focus on your own people. But they are solving international problems to the detriment of their native populations. And unfortunately, that is also happening here to us in the United States. And, you know, even President Trump's base is kind of becoming disenfranchised and unhappy, because we want our internal problems solved. We don't want to be focused outward. But I think now we are waking up to the fact that focusing on international and foreign policy actually costs you here domestically. It costs you at the pump. It costs you in the grocery store. And as Natalie said, it costs you, you know, your mere survival is at stake. They can spy on you and they can barrage you any way they want and destroy your livelihood, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. And these people, sadly, and economically, they're being crushed. So they go along with it. You know, oh, digital ID. Okay. You're going to give me a government stipend of euros because I'm broke right now. So if you want to control people, you beat them down. And that's exactly what's
happening. That's exactly it. And they are completely beaten down. So they cannot even focus on some of these larger problems because they're focused on survival. And that is the sad part, because once the economic collapse happens, and I feel that inevitably it will happen, not just in Europe, but here, unfortunately, as well. That is, with all of these preconditions that I outlined, that is the moment when you can expect violence. And unfortunately, it's going to be bloody, because look, the globalists, the internationalists, they know, and look, this is not, it's all by design. You know, it's not the glitch of the system. It's a feature of the system. So basically, once they fragment it enough, where there is no societal cohesion, where there's no high trust society, where you can naturally come to a consensus, once you break it down completely, it leads to civil war and it becomes bloody because you're attacking the weakest link in the chain. For example, when you look at the Balkans, they attack the religious, the ethnic. In the United States, you're kind of looking at racial. So anything that is weak within a society is being exploited. And for the Europeans, that is actually this demographic replacement, where now all of a sudden the native populations are feeling like minorities in their own homes. They are being spied on. They are being beaten down, to Clayton's point, and they can barely survive. So what is left for them to do? How do you battle this out?
Yeah.
Gosh, you're great. Great to have you here on the, I can't believe we haven't had
Thank
you on
you.
The show yet. Well, you're going to be back. We'll just have a regular.
Thank you.
We'll have a regular
Please.
Time
I'm
slot.
So glad to
you,
talk
you don't
to
tell
you guys.
Her. We'll ask her nicely.
I'll tell her you're coming back. You're coming back.
If you will,
would love
please.
To. Would be
surrounded by strong
we'll
women.
Okay.
I'm gonna be so strong
Thank
myself.
You.
You're coming back. All right. Great to see you. Thank you so much, Dr. Rovasi. Great to have you here on the show.
Thanks a lot.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. All right. Coming up. Speaking of the decline of Western civilization, look at Canada. I mean, nowhere is it more explicitly obvious that this decline happening in real time than under what was the Trudeau government, now under the Mark Carney government, and the tyranny and authoritarian government attacking and going after these farmers now in British Columbia, killing hundreds of ostriches, which happened late last week. Well, guess what? They're not stopping with that one farm. They're going to continue because they have their eyes on other farms, and the tyranny continues in Canada. It's really one of the most horrible stories that we've had to cover here on the show, and we will do that in just a moment.
But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Chapter, because medical annual enrollment is here. It's time to choose your 2026 plan. And here's the deal. Even if you're happy with your current plan, it's important to review the 2026 options because plans change every year. We know that a lot of medical plans are going to change. A lot of the pricing is going to change. Now is a good time to review. Many just go away entirely. That leaves millions of seniors stuck, either overpaying or undercovered. And most Medicare agents care more about their commissions than your coverage. And that's why you need to know about Chapter. They're the only Medicare advisors who compare every plan nationwide to find the one that truly fits your needs. And their advisors get paid the same amount, regardless of which plan they recommend to you. It's completely free. It takes about 20 minutes. And on average, they've helped save people about $1,100 a year. So even if you're already on a plan, you need to take a look at what the offerings are for 2026, because we know that for a lot of reasons, most of them political, done by the Uniparty, many plans are going to get more expensive, and you need to know that before that just goes into place. So make sure you book a consultation with Chapter. Go to askchapter.org/redacted or give them a call, 202-655-5811, to get honest advice from people who know about Medicare inside and out. And again, one more time, that's askchapter.org/redacted. One more time, askchapter.org/redacted.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, to Canada now. Well, last Wednesday, the ostriches at the Universal Ostrich Farm in British Columbia, Canada, were mostly alive. They were mostly healthy, although they were basically being starved and not being taken care of because they were being under the watch of the CFIA, but they were mostly alive. Some of them over 35 years old, happy, dancing, playing with the owners. Some of them are older than the owners themselves. Then the terrorist organization known as the CFIA moved in at nighttime, and they had already set up a barricade, of course, around of hay bales so people couldn't see what they were about to do, which was fire and kill these 400 ostriches, slaughter them. And then when daylight hit, you could see this, dead bodies of hundreds of birds hidden under tarps all over this area. As journalist David Creighton put it in an article for the Blaze Media, he wrote, "Massacre at Universal Ostrich Farm. Canada kills hundreds of birds despite no evidence of avian flu. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency slaughtered hundreds of ostriches at the Edgewood, British Columbia Universal Ostrich Farm Thursday night using rifles. At least two marksmen believed to be working at the CFI's Enforcement Division unloaded hundreds of rounds into the birds beginning on Thursday evening. And by the way, while they're sifting through material, with all of that bloody material, they weren't wearing any sort of PPE costumes. Here's one individual. Here he was in there in the pen. If these birds were so damn dangerous, why is he not wearing any hazmat suits? Why is he not wearing any kind of PPE? No masks, nothing. Because they know it was all a lie. Because they were no threat to anybody. And they just had to save face. David Creighton joins us now. He writes at CreightonsRightNews.com. And he wrote that article in The Blaze from Ottawa, Canada. David joins us now. And David, it looks like, it was awful. It was an awful weekend just seeing these images of these birds being slaughtered, the tears of the owners of the farm. So it's been an awful, awful weekend. Now that some of this has settled a little bit, the farmers are resolved to fight back. But the CFIA is not stopping, are they? They're not just stopping with this one farm.
Which is what you had warned.
No, and they're not stopping. They're going after other farms who could potentially be part of their abuse. And I can't tell you how incredible this was. Thursday evening, Friday morning, I was getting information by the minute from people who were on the scene telling me that these ostriches were being shot, and they weren't just being shot, they were being killed. And so many were not surviving the gunshots. And so there were many, many of these ostriches killed the morning after that were beheaded by the CFI people. And it is absolutely horrendous what is happening to this farm, because this is all about destroying this farm, leaving it with nothing except grave land. Now, if you look at this farm today, there's nothing left. They've taken these ostriches away. And by the way, I have to say this, we have been following the march of the ostriches ever since. They're ending up apparently in Surrey, BC, at a place that they obviously had planned about. And we are going to find out what happens to these ostriches after this, because they don't want, again, this is all about not taking test samples of these ostriches. The last thing the family fed, this family fed said was we want evidence. We want evidence of what happened to these hostages. They're not allowing them that. We are going to ensure that they do that. We are watching and waiting to find out where these remains of these hostages remain. Because believe me, this is a government conspiracy. We don't like to use that word conspiracy, but this is a government conspiracy between the federal government, the RCMP, the FCIA, and the provincial governor of BC at this point, where these hostages are ending up. And we are going to find out. We are going to report that, and we are going to make sure that people know that how their tax dollars were spent. Right. To get rid of healthy ostriches who should never have been killed in the first place.
Now, the problem is, I mean, many, but one of them is that because the government can just do this and no Supreme Court stopped them without any proof of necessity, that they can keep going into, I mean, most people don't eat ostriches, but where are they going to go next? Into the food source, right? And so there have been reports of other farms saying, oh, we're starting to get letters from the CFIA now. Tell us about how that now, the ball's rolling down the hill.
The very idea that the government can annihilate ostriches or chickens or cows or whatever is on your private property has begun about 12 years ago under the previous conservative government. And this is why we have to stop this right now. Because, and Pierre Poilievre, as the leader of the official opposition, has to stand up and say, this is unacceptable. We have to fight back against this because this policy is no longer viable, realizable. And even the World Health Organization, as I've said repeatedly, has backed away from the stamping out policy of killing every last bird, every last piece of cattle, everything, because it might have been affected at one time. This is insanity. We have to back away from the policy. And this is why I think Katie, as harmed as she has been, as the spokeswoman from this farm, she needs to continue to fight against what is going on here, which is we are going to continue to kill every last animal. And it's going to drive the price of eggs, the price of meat, the price of everything up, because this is an insanity policy and we have to keep fighting back on this. And as hard as that is right now for Katie, fighting this up, because I know she wanted to be on the show tonight, but she just can't do it right now. It's been so hard for her. And so I think that's where her mission in the future lies, is so that this doesn't happen again. This can't happen, be allowed to again. We have to keep fighting back on this.
Yeah, and it's not even about the ostriches, right? It is about the government overreach. And so many of our viewers who've written to us and who've watched the show and said, you know, we were praying and praying and praying, and then when it was all lost, they were so devastated, and it's horrible to watch. It's not just about the birds, though. It's about the massive government overreach and lying, gaslighting the Canadian people, failure to do the tests on the animals, which could have solved this all for everybody. It could have led to a study of herd immunity and how these animals were totally healthy. But they can't do that because they have to save face for their own tyranny. And I just fear, and I've seen a lot of people saying, you know, this is the Canadian government is not going to stop with just these ostriches, as you pointed out, that there could be a human culling. The Canadian government has obviously become very demonic in its move towards this MAID program and the assisted suicides in the country. Like, this is a very, I almost say it's like a demonic government at play here. Transhumanist government.
It's an absolutely demonic government, because who is next in terms of where the government's after? What if your pet exhibits signs of avian influenza? And I put my pet on my, you know, this affects me very deeply. I said, you're not going to get my black cat because they're going after black cats now in Vancouver. And I said, you're not going to get my black cat because I love that black cat. And I am not going to let you do that. But that's where these people are at. They are literally trying to go after animals that they think are somehow part of their problem. And it's their problem. They have created this mess, not the homeowners, not the pet owners. And this is how bad this has become. And if the Canadian government is no longer a government of the people, it ceased to be that a long time ago. It's the government of the globalists. It's the government of Mark Carney and the people he makes money off of. And we are going to stop this. We are going to fight back in a big way.
David. Well, let me just ask you, all of these hashtags that I see now is justice for the ostriches. But we tried that. They went all the way to the court. What possibly could be done? Like litigation? Like who is there to appeal to? You went all the way to Donald Trump, who is not an official of your country. So what does that mean?
We need Pierre Poilievre as the leader of the official opposition to take this issue seriously. He has not taken this issue seriously because the stamping out policy, as I learned today, was initiated by Stephen Harper of the previous Conservative government. No wonder they're not taking this seriously. Time to wake up to the present. Time to wake up to here and now. And Pierre Poilievre, time to wake up to your Conservative followers across Canada who expect better of you. And he's not doing that. So Who do we appeal to? The Conservative Party of Canada? Poilievre, Pierre Poilievre as the Conservative Party of leader and the official opposition leader. Yeah, we've got to appeal to these people. Who do we appeal to? Justice and right. I had Tamara on Leach on my program earlier today. She alienated the absolute incredible similarity between what was going on with the truckers, with people who were concerned about losing their freedom during that revolt, that revolt in terms of Canadians saying enough. It's the same thing that's happening right now at a farm in Edgewood, BC. They are losing their freedom, and when they lose their freedom, all Canadians are losing their freedom. Their freedom of speech, their freedom of assembly, and their freedom to own their own damn property. We're losing that in Canada. I can't say that enough. Canada, as we've heard so often from this show, Canada is cooked unless we fight back in a way that means business with this goddamn liberal government, which is out to get us.
Yeah, and is winning. So I don't want to end it there, but I mean, it feels so hopeless at this point. And we're so close to the tragedy having happened within the last week, and it's so upsetting. But thank you for being on this story and not letting it go. You know, it actually, what's upsetting, even further upsetting, it's all upsetting, is all of the press it got after the birds were already killed. Like, there were those of us who were trying to scream our heads off about it. And then now that other people see it, they realize. And I wish that we could have screamed a little bit louder, but what can be done now? There's no going back. So thank you for bringing us your context. As always, we're sorry that this is so personally upsetting, but we appreciate the passion always. David Creighton from Canada joining us today. Thank you so much.
Well, Natalie, and we love you, what you're doing here. Thank you so much for having me on today. And we love your show. And so many people tell me that every time. that I appear on this show. Thank you for doing what you do on Redacted, because we love your show. And Clayton and Natalie, we love you so much. Thank you.
Thanks, David. And I know what an incredibly difficult weekend this was for you as well. Thank you, David, as always. It was horrible, like getting those messages, because our show had ended last Thursday night, and then we started getting word of they're just unloading, just slaughtering these ostriches with guns, and David was texting me, and he's just like, oh, it was just horrible. They were there on the farm. It was just really terrible. So anyway.
I really thought there would be some kind of Hail Mary. I really did. Maybe, you know, I need to lay off the Lifetime television for women. Because
watch that.
I thought that, no, I don't. All I watch is Korean shows.
Yeah.
But those tend to be quite positive too. So I needed a
well, it's real incredibly world to be defeating. Able to believe this. I mean, like David's been working on this story for months and months and months, like every day.
Yeah.
Trying to raise awareness of the Canadian government, trying to get the right people to stop this. And in the end, you know, like we tried on our side here in the US on our show, and we couldn't. And appeal to the president, appeal to RFK Jr., you know, everyone as best we could. We got, you know, Tucker Carlson to cover the story. So anyway, yeah, it's just devastating.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Hey, we should mention that we do have a daily newsletter. We try to cover the stories maybe that we don't get to cover here on the show, but we cover it and you can read it about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee every day. It's totally free. Natalie writes it every night and into the morning hours. She works very hard on it. And again, you can read it about 5 or 10 minutes, cover about 4 or 5 of the big stories of the day, other stories that are redacted and hidden from you in the mainstream media. So just go to redacted.inc, it's not .com, and just put in your email address, and you will receive a welcome email. Might go to your spam folder or your junk folder. You just need to move that over to your inbox and click that, yes, you do want to receive the newsletter, and then you will receive the newsletter tomorrow, Thursday. We publish it Monday through Thursday, and you should get it first thing in the morning, the Redacted newsletter.
All right, we're going to be busy, you guys. There's a lot of new Epstein emails to go through. Some of them are old, some of them are new. It's confusing, but it is a flood. This is a Mercury retrograde for the government. That's what's happening. And so we're going to stay on this. You just gave yourself
It's one of those days where I sit and I read these emails and I'm like, I'm just pulling my hair out. My kids will be like, what are you doing?
Look like, at you.
I'm like...
It's like Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Like, wait, when he goes, what?
What?
Wouldn't try and do that.
That's what I sit when I sit and I'm reading like emails and stuff like that or going
and
through
I'm
the
like,
news.
Gross.
I'm like
grosser.
Constantly. Maybe that's why I've got such good head of hair because I'm always like constantly like
just massaging it.
Just mm-hmm. constantly getting in there, you know?
Yeah.
Constantly getting in there.
I mean, on a personal front, I am glad to see, like I said, the media absolutely eat crap on this, that they had people in these prestigious publications warning Epstein, and then they have the nerve to go after conservative journalists or anybody who questions the narrative that they're trying to post about COVID or what have you, right? Like, they took the piss out of Redacted for telling the truth about the war in Ukraine. We don't have anybody in the Epstein files on our staff. Literally nobody. How about that? So they're flinging mud and they are the worst. So again, I'm not going to say the F word, but you know what I mean when I say New York Times, get effed. And then F yourself from there and then go F yourself from there and then until you get back here and then F yourself again to the New York Times, to the USA Today, to CNN.
You're all corrupt.
Yeah. I hope that your organization implodes and it ruins your credit score because you don't like
ruins your credit score.
All of these bad things happen
to you. Whoa, calm down.
Right.
I hope you have to wait 30 minutes in line at a DMV.
I hope That's you have I... perpetual jock itch. I hope you stub your toe on every hard piece of furniture. Anybody who has dared to throw mud from those organizations.
Perpetual jock itch. Every
harpy. Yeah. Perpetual jock itch.
Glad that Siri's looking up jock itch for us. Yeah.
I hope you walk across I was just going to say, walk across a room of Legos.
In your bare feet.
Yeah.
I hope all of those things for anyone who has dared to fling mud from those organizations. We didn't sell the Iraq War. We have nobody on it, you know, tipping off Epstein on our payroll. Fuck you. Whoa. You can get fucked. And then from there, too, that's what I have to say about all of that. I'm so mad to see right from inside of these, you know, these people ruined our lives. They take the power to ruin other people's lives. They think they're so superior and that they cover for pedophiles. Yeah. I cannot believe it.
Not only do they cover for pedophiles, they collude with pedophiles.
Most of them are. Most of them are.
New York Times, USA Today, two of the most corrupt news organizations in the world next to the BBC. Like, who's reading this filth? Like, you know, who's reading this garbage? Who's actually paying to have a New York Times subscription? Yeah. I hope none of you. By the way, I hope when you're at a hotel and that's the only time you ever see a USA Today, I hope you take it and I hope you like line your birdcage with it. I hope you use it to go to the bathroom and wipe the toilets down with a USA Today. It's garbage. And these people colluding with a pedophile after he had already been arrested, after he had been out of prison. It's disgusting. Anyway, so we're going to end on that happy note.
So we'll keep, you know, we'll read these documents overnight. We'll come back. Maybe I shouldn't have said some of that. I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to say the F word, and then I said the F word. A lot of it, like I said,
is
the role
here.
That the media has played in our lives. And I'm upset to think that this would be the mudslingers.
And if this doesn't like finally ruin their credibility to realize like if they're lying about that, you can pretty much bet they're lying about everything. If you haven't figured it out by now, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah. Okay. We'll leave it at that. I'm sorry. I will go pay penance for my potty mouth. And as we Latins do, wash my mouth out with the hot sauce.
I'll think of a good punishment. Don't you guys worry. All right.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. We'll see
you
back here.
I'll come back in a better mood tomorrow, maybe.
Someone in the chat room said I'll be bald because I'll be pulling my hair out reading these emails.
Yeah, right.
Be bald tomorrow. All right, everyone. Have a great night.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.